Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest. You knew that. And I'm always very grateful that you come to listen to the show. Tonight, we have two gentlemen on the show that I admire very, very much. I always say they're talking the talk and they're walking the walk. They're doing things that are really great within their communities and also within the global community, especially helping young people. I'm also very proud to say, and I'm always thrilled with technology, that I'm talking from Peekskill, New York, which is a northern suburb of New York City. I am a New Yorker, and I'm actually dealing with someone's actually from southern Westchester County, New York, and we also have Canada on the line. We love Canada, okay? And I say, oh, Canada, oh, Canada. I don't know any more of the words, but thank you so much for being on the show. But this is really very serious business we're talking about here. Joseph Lento and J. Gordon Boyd, I call him Jim Boyd, they work with young people within their communities, and they're doing a global outreach with what they do. Joseph Lento is a musician and a music educator, and Jim Boyd is actually a man that deals with public safety in a community of indigenous youth. And I'm sort of saying it in my own words, but I'm going to let them tell you in their words. We're going to start with Jim. Jim Boyd, talk to me about the task force in Toronto, Canada.
What a pleasure, Toni, to be here again. And thanks, Mr. Brooks, and yourself, and of course, Joseph Lento, who's on the line as well. You know, we hear so often today and protests all over the place for many reasons and issues that communities need to come together. And I'd like to say that we can have more strength when we're together for the right reasons. What we have decided to do with the STEPS program is, first of all, a life safety and wellness initiative designed to teach children crime, fire, accident, mental health, addictions, cybersecurity, emergency preparedness, and a whole lot of other crucial prevention education that they may or may not be receiving. Today, we see cries to defund police. If that happens, major budget slashes will occur, and the first programs to go will be high school and elementary school safety programs administered by student resources officers in every state and community across America and Canada. So we believe that rather than defunding police, it's time to examine these issues through a different lens, put on new sunglasses, and simply detask police services from many burdens that they have, like responding to everybody's mental health concerns. Only the violent and weapons calls should involve the police. Mental health teams can do this work. They're well-funded, they're well-organized, and we've made the police services the scapegoats for everything that goes wrong in our cities, and this is wrong. So what we have done is, in creating the life safety and wellness programs, is to create a tool for law enforcement agencies, public health agencies, and many others, educators in high school, who may or may not have their own programs, to deliver quality and evidence-based training to all of our teenagers. Moving forward, as part of our mental health initiative, we met at roundtable discussions in Canada for about 4 months with psychiatrists, psychologists, and youth workers in the justice system and social services to determine what supports could we bring to children in the mental health sector that we currently may be overlooking. By unanimous decision, our roundtable stakeholders agreed that music and performing arts were one of the most crucial tools for the development of healthy children, but also can be used as therapy for teenagers and children and adults. But we're focused on the teenagers. They're the ones that have to deal with so many issues with so few resources, and it seems that we've let them slip through the cracks. And it's no wonder that we have so many problems with depression and suicides and so many issues that affect our teens today. Notice in the protests, folks, that we're seeing everywhere, it's not teenagers. It's the 20 to 30 crowd. The teenagers have been wonderful. They stay home, they're in compliance with the COVID orders, they help with their parents, they may bellyache and complain like a teenager will because they're misunderstood. Our goal through the Steps in Music program is to support life safety and wellness training programs under the direction of Joseph Lento, a professional music educator who's won multiple awards and from three United States presidents for his humanitarian work. We will assemble quality music training programs for every child in every community at no cost.
Tell me how that works and tell me how you determined that it sounds like you're saying the missing link is music education.
Yes, and performing arts and literary arts. If we don't give children in communities, and especially our teenagers, a venue, a forum, a platform to develop themselves, we're going to reap what we sow. We're going to see crime. We're going to see adolescent drug addictions. We're going to see sexual assault. We're going to see teen pregnancies. What we are going to do with the music programs under the direction of Joseph Lento and many other followers of Joseph Lento in the music education business, we are assembling major indie bands today. I've been on the phone all week last week and all week this week and continuing and follow us with emails to bands that are saying, we're in, what do you want us to do? We can get to that another day, but the support they are bringing to Maestro Lento's programs is overwhelming. I'm not talking about here in Peekskill or in Toronto. I'm talking about Bangladesh. I'm talking about Punjab Province, India. I'm talking about Curitiba, Brazil, Sao Paulo, Brazil. I'm talking about every country in the world is calling us, saying, help us with life safety programs for teenagers, and how can our musicians help you to move Maestro Lento's work forward with free instruments and community instruction through live stream technology.
So the instruments would be free. And tell me, I think my audience would be really curious to know about what kinds of issues that you deal with, that the youth deal with in Toronto. My understanding is that you deal with Indigenous youth. Like, what kind of issues do they have? What kind of problems do they have?
Well, if we think that our children in our own communities have a problem with depression and suicide ideation, we only have to look to our, and I'll speak to Ontario. America has similar problems, but in Ontario, the bugle call is blasting loudly, constantly from tribal Indian chiefs in First Nations, Métis, and Inuit communities right across Canada, saying, help us, please. Our children are killing themselves in an unprecedented number. We have tools through this program that Joseph and I have designed with your support, Tony, to bring quality education, performing arts, music, and et cetera, but we'll focus on music. We will bring children in remote Indian reservations free instruments and instruction. Those who are suffering from a diagnosed depressive disorder, those who are in compliance with treatment regimens, those who are on their medications, those who are following the rules, those who are trying to stay away from drugs and substances. And we will work with probation officers, police departments, youth justice, and social services to make sure that this occurs. Now, where the bands come in is to promote in two ways. On our web tools, to provide listening music for kids they can download for free, and to raise awareness in every community in the world where they have a following to this Steps in Music program that is administered by our frontline task force with the assistance of Maestro Lento. He has his own programs that he has perfected, and that's why we went to him. And he was so gracious in offering his support. And here we are today talking about it, and I'm so thrilled, folks. I'll turn it over to you, Tony.
Thank you. So I think that it's really quite fascinating that Joseph Lento is in Yonkers, New York, and you're in Toronto. It seems that the internet is very effective in bringing people together, and I think it's a beautiful thing that we can collaborate this way and be from all points of the world. I'm very grateful for the technology of the internet. So tell me, the audience, what is the STEPS program? What is STEPS an acronym for? I imagine it's an acronym. Tell me what it is.
STEPS means Safety Training Education Programs for Students.
And so then it's not really limited to the arts, I imagine. Do you get involved with technology with the young people that you work with in Toronto?
We have been working all week with various webinar programs, and so have you. All of us are moving to an e-learning capacity. Governments by force have had to create e-learning forums for all of the school children. Our education future is very uncertain. And this is the same in the music industry. The music industry has been impacted so badly. There are musicians that may not survive. Where the ones that will survive are the ones that have used the technology and putting live streaming sessions together. Those are the bands that we have been working to bring on board because they're good at what they do. We have a lineup of 6 in the last 3 days. So the technology is the wave of the future. Alex Sarian, who was the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts CEO, now he's in Calgary at the Arts Commons. He said that with a fine balance of strategic planning and damage control and good financial planning, we might survive. That the performing arts were the first to shut down in the COVID-19 pandemic, and they will be the last to relaunch their efforts. Ray Hare, the American Federation of Music president, sent a letter to me, and in it he described how musicians worldwide had never been so worried. So the technology, those who are strong won't survive. Those who are the fastest won't survive. Those who are the cutest in guerrilla marketing will not survive. The ones that survive will be the ones who can adapt. That is true in every industry.
It's interesting, though, as far as music, I always wanted to, and I think with the pandemic, and you think you're just going to get to go see live theater. I love it. Broadway is dark right now. And even if it was not dark, you know, it's like the basic ticket to go, one ticket is like $200. And I saw that on one of the platforms for music, Spotify, the other night, they were playing the whole score from Hamilton. And I just was in heaven listening to it.
And at a reduced cost.
Yes, free.
To stimulate our economy.
And the thing is that not everybody has the wherewithal to engage in technology the way we are right now. So I'm wondering what it's like for the students and the young people that you and Joseph are working with. Are they engaged? Do they have access to technology?
This might surprise you, but my boy who's 16, he's my youngest son, and we don't live together. He knows more about the STEPS program than any teenager in the world. He's been right there all the way, saying, "Great, Dad, great." And now that he's 16, he's created his own record label. He has produced his own music with him and 3 friends using the technology. And it was my little boy that said, "Dad, you better put the STEPS program on YouTube." And he explained this to me so many times over several years. Today, Peter is a big fan of Joseph Lento, and he cannot believe the outpouring from major music industry professionals to support Joseph's work. That's a teenager telling me this.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing. Joseph, what are you doing with you have a program you call Brass Comets. Is that what it's called? Tell the audience a little bit about that. I know we spoke about it on a previous podcast, but there's always new listeners. And tell my audience about that.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, Tony, thanks so very much for having me on. And Steps Director Boyd, thank you for your support. It's been a real learning experience, our collaboration. So thank you all for having me speak.
It's my pleasure.
The Brass Comets program is something I developed which was designed and is designed to originally for schools in low-income communities or private schools working on a shoestring, so to speak, who wanted a real music program but couldn't afford it. And I developed a program in which I could bring that to them. And then when I was speaking with Steps Director Boyd, we actually came up with the idea, how about taking it to incarcerated youth and expanding it that way? So the program has evolved and is capable through live stream technology of reaching anyone in the world, whether it be at a school, whether it be at a incarcerated facility for youth, or some other type of recuperative setting where people are rehabilitating. I believe in the power of music, and I speak of it, and Director Boyd will tell you, and Tony, you know, we know each other now a long time.
Yes.
My mission is really one of, it's very, very focused and very specific to the brain and the emotional effects that music has on making those two things work together to have young people realize their best selves. And that's really what my focus is on with that program.
Tell the audience a little bit, because you've mentioned the brain. I happen to be very fascinated with the brain. I always have been. And I just love to amuse myself by thinking about the brain versus the mind versus whatever. Tell us about how what you're doing has a positive effect on the brain.
Well, you know, I have to just stop and say it's not really, I might be an instrument of the work, but I'm really just doing what I've been blessed to do, and that's to share information. The things that I'm teaching are nothing new, but unfortunately, they've been slipping away little by little because it takes traditional training in music, be it on any type of instrument, but real traditional music and the training that goes, that's involved with it, takes automatically the brain and redirects it in a very specific way. And in turn, teaches not only, you know, all of the tactile skills and cooperative skills you get from playing in a group ensemble and setting, but also that very, very training of working with other people. And even if you're just learning by yourself for the first time, it opens up an emotional pathway that heretofore most people never experience. But I have to emphasize, it has to be done with traditional training. Just, you know, listening to rap music and things like that doesn't open up the same pathways. So I'm very, very focused on the scientific, academic, and emotional, or now we use the term socio-emotional outcomes that this type of training has on young people. That's what I'm focused on.
Traditionally trained in music. That's something that's very valuable to have, like a foundation of actual instruction that is traditional and also technical.
Yes, if I may, I did my first research on it when I was getting my master's degree for district level administration and supervision. And I conducted a test back in 1998 with nearly 200 students at an urban school in the Bronx, New York, actually my alma mater, Lehman High School. And the results were astounding. The differences between children who were in my program a minimum of 2 years, as opposed to children who were never in a music program, was really astronomical. And the children in my program with a minimum of 2 years training excelled in every subject area by a minimum of 15 points up to 20 points higher. And their involvement in the community was overwhelming, as opposed to literally no community involvement with the other children.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah, it was actually used at the Bronx High School of Science for more than 10 years. They used my research in their general music classes to make students really aware of the power of that music has. So I've been very grateful to share that information.
Now, the trumpet is a very specific instrument, and I'm wondering, it has a sound to it, and I think about the things a trumpet has used for. You know, usually they sound the trumpet when like some royalty enters the room, you know? But tell me what, between you and Jim, I'm wondering if you have some kind of a vision of your particular lessons, and I imagine it's probably quite something, and what Jim does. How do you intend to collaborate? Because I find that your collaboration very fascinating.
Jim, would you like to speak to that point first?
Well, and I think all of us are in agreement that first we have to identify the problem, and that is what Joseph's research has shown with evidence-based data for so many years, that those children in underprivileged communities especially, where we see a lot of violence, a lot of crime, a lot of addictions, and this is every community now, mm-hmm. because of peer pressure, because of the socioeconomic status, and many other issues, Joseph's research has clearly shown that children who learn quality music education, not beatbox, not with a synthesizer, but learn quality scales and all of the things that quality instruction provides, those children fare much better in social development. We won't even address the academic skills. It's not necessary that that's proven. But for social integration, how can we expect our children today to not bully when all we do as big kids is slam each other on social media? They're watching us. So in a similar way, when they're watching all these mass protests with violence, they're confused. They're smart, those kids. We are going to bring them the tools through Joseph's work and through promotion from major bands, who are also many of these people, many of them are conservatory trained and understand Joseph's theories. If we can take a child and refocus his energy on social integration, on getting along with his band members, on doing better in school, on finding a venue for him to take interest in rather than hanging around with his friends and getting in trouble or becoming depressed with no hope for a future, then we win.
I'm very concerned about the depression in young people.
It's overwhelming today.
Well, I think it's something that's been there for a very long time. I don't think it's new.
Well, it's getting worse and worse because of the population, but also because of the technology that is bringing things like, you know, social media mobbing and so many assault of things to children. I have a physician friend who's an internist, and he was assisting with this program for crime, fire, and accident training. 10 years ago, we were ready to launch when I got a call that one of his children had hung themselves
in
his
backyard.
And this destroyed this poor man and his family.
Of course.
Well, 1 year later, we had developed the Steps in Music program as a therapy for children because they're not being given priority at emergency rooms and mental health facilities. The system is broken. I don't want to go toe-to-toe on anybody with the issues today. We have the data to back it up. But if we can bring kids effective supports, that's our goal. A year later, we were ready to launch. A second boy of his hung himself because
wow.
he missed his brother so badly. So you can understand, not only from my position as an ambulance paramedic with 40 years under my belt, but you can understand when it hit that close to home. And I realized that every family is suffering from these problems. I followed suicide since I was a very young ambulance man. And it is getting worse. It's overwhelming. The numbers are staggering. And drug addictions are fueling it.
I think also there's trauma. I spoke to a psychologist recently who works for the VA, who said that 75% of all of us, general population, have experienced trauma. And, you know, we deal with some kind of a post-traumatic situation.
I took my post-traumatic stress disorder after seeing thousands of very nasty things every day, 4 and 5 times a day, with no resolve, no breaks. And I took that through PTSD, working with experts in the field all around North America, and I determined to focus on the prevention work. And praise God, today PTSD, I laugh at it in myself. If we can teach our children to laugh, we're going to win too. The supports we need to bring to our children must be developed through careful evidence-based data, but also with compassionate outreach from communities around our kids. The communities can no longer trust that the local hospital will deal with it or the police will. They're not scapegoats. It starts with empowerment parenting. Stephanie Mann with the National Network for Safe Kids in the United States has partnered with our organization, and she has written a book on empowering parenting. It starts in the home. How can you take a home that's dysfunctional and train kids to be functional? That's where Joseph Lento's work comes in, and it's a crucial need today.
What are the signs? What can you tell the audience, Jim, are the signs that they should actually have, you know, throw up a red flag? What are the signs of someone that's depressed, a child or anyone? You know, how do you know when it's serious? Because I think it's really so tragic to have, like, you know, suicide happen in anybody's family, for someone to take their life.
Teachers have known for years. Teachers in elementary schools have known for years, and they've been screaming for supports, and they're not given the supports they need. Some support, but they can do better.
What are the symptoms that people can recognize on a daily basis?
They've been saying for years that we have our children as young as 3 and 4 years old lashing out at the teacher, swearing at them, kicking them, punching them, and the classmates too. That's a good indicator that there's a dysfunction problem with that child in his home or in his own mentation. I don't believe that it's particular to children, adolescents, or adults. Specific signs and symptoms. All of us display the same symptoms of loss of interest in our activities, scattered thoughts, loss of interest in food and sex, and all of the things that drive humans. When a person loses their interest and isolates themselves, you know there's a problem. Just like strokes. It took us years to educate the public on when to call for help.
Mm-hmm.
With the new program, we call it FACE. And we even see that on an acronym on the back of ambulances. You know, FACE, smile, your activity with your motion with your arms. And if you're affected in those things,
mm-hmm.
call 911. And it's so simple. So
I'm just wondering, like, I'm curious, like, because suicides is this very serious thing, you know, when someone becomes so, a lot of people don't realize that depression would cause somebody to commit suicide, and depression is anger turned against oneself.
Absolutely.
So I'm wondering, do you see, I mean, with regard to the kind of emergency situations that you have to deal with in what you're doing, how often do you see suicide?
Well, I'm going to answer that with two different statements. I retired in 2013. During a 2 to 3 year period around that time, I had begun to notice an upswing in teen suicides. I was responding myself in a one-man patrol unit, and I just patrolled all the time, no station, like an ambulance. And I would listen to the radio and respond immediately to anything without even communicating with them. They would call the ambulance and the fire out, the dispatchers, and away they go. But I was already on way to the scene. I would go to a minimum of 2 teenagers in a town the size of 90,000 every single month. I asked our crew members, I asked coroners and police, are you seeing an upswing? They said, absolutely. It's almost overwhelming. That was almost 10 years ago. Now, you asked, are we seeing an upswing?
Yeah.
The data says yes. That's why the Canadian Mental Health Commission released $2 billion in funding just for mental health initiatives. This is why I said earlier, why are we making the police the scapegoats for every mental health concern? Because now they're under the gun for the way they do or the way they don't do their job.
Mm-hmm.
The mental health system has the funding and the vast resources. And I'm challenging them to do more better. For our children.
Jim, I'm sorry. I'm going to jump in here, and at the risk of being rude, I hope I'm not. What I'm going to say is, as you're speaking about this very specific issue of children lashing out violently, from an early age, and how the STEPS program, and specifically from my expertise, my program can help. I'm saying this in my capacity as a private citizen. 10 years ago, I was violently assaulted by a student at a school I was working at. And I remember seeing this young man come in, and I knew automatically that he had deficits and he needed help. Unfortunately, my experience as a school district administrator, a school administrator, and at that point I had nearly 16 years of experience already, indicated that this young man was slipping through the cracks. Willfully or not, this young man should never have been allowed to get to a state where he was so violent that he wound up taking it out on a person who did nothing to him. And specifically, I started keeping an eye on him, and he wasn't even in my class. And I said to him one day, and I'll leave his name out, I said, "Young man, how would you like an opportunity to play in my band?" And he said to me, "Why would you do anything for me? The other music teacher in the other school, they didn't want me. They said I was trouble." I said, "No student is trouble." And I didn't have enough time. But his outcry right there, that he was rejected because of his behavior. And I understand not everybody can deal with students who display a certain behavior. That's because they don't understand the subject they're teaching. The power of music in an instrumental music class would have transformed that young man. And I'm convinced that that specific incident with me speaks to what Jim is talking about. I experienced it personally. Till this day, I still, you know, am impeded by the injuries I have from it. But more than that, I often wonder what became of that young man. I never had a chance to help him. And the people who didn't help him when he cried out for help didn't give it to him. That's a problem.
New York School Talk last night, Joseph, had an article by two young high school girls who have started their own website stating how the prison to pipeline system in schools has to be addressed. They were saying that the racial inequality, the education inequality with Black and Hispanic children has to be addressed. These girls, I commended them. You'll see the article in the follow-up. These girls, 16 years old, have taken it upon themselves to create a website for all high school students to gain help. And God bless them. And
amazing.
Students are starting to see this everywhere. Look at the March for Lives groups after the school shootings 2 years ago. If we don't begin to listen to our teenagers, woe on us. And they went away quietly after their protest.
I think it's really important for people to recognize the signs. I do remember I did have a childhood and an adolescence a while back, but there were friends back then, I remember, that experienced depression. I think as a teenager, I just experienced depression. But there were some people that experienced depression so horribly that they do harm to themselves.
Well, they didn't discuss it, or they didn't let anybody know. They suffered silently. They ate their bread. They ate their lunch under the bridge by themselves. They isolated.
Right. And yes.
Which is why talk about mental health is a wonderful initiative. But let's move forward now. We've talked about it for 2 years. Let's now find some solutions.
So in terms of recognizing that in people, I can tell you some stories. I won't, you know, about different people and their depression, including my own. But sometimes it has to be so overt, and the person that actually observes it and actually addresses it has to recognize it for what it really is.
Well, this is why we've started the STEPS program, notwithstanding the music. We want every teenager in a high school setting to understand the signs and symptoms of extreme violence, of schizophrenia. We want them to understand what true mental health emergencies are. I was one of the first to take mental health first aid, a 40-hour course. We've been lobbying with Canada's Mental Health Commission and the American Counterparts to take this program, which came from Australia, to take this program and whittle it down to 2 to 3 hours of common sense talk to every child, so every child has that training. We haven't got very far with them.
We have to be bold enough. And again, I speak in my capacity as a private citizen with many years of experience in the public education sector. Our schools in many places, my observation and in my advocacy for students, are willfully neglecting children for political purposes. This must end. This must end.
When two 16-year-old girls creating a website are echoing the same concerns, it's time we start listening. If we don't want to listen to our adult colleagues in various fields, that's one thing. But if we refuse to listen to our most vulnerable, woe on us. We will reap what we sow.
You know, I think it's really important for citizens in general, because what we're going through right now with this pandemic, in my opinion, I feel it's important that we take care of each other. And I don't mean that you got to support your, you know, pay all their bills or whatever, but I think it's important to be observant. And also, I think it's important to realize that the playing field has been leveled with this pandemic.
It's been a silver lining. It's been a silver lining for our task force. We've had time to focus exclusively and amplified focus because so many people are hurting now. The mental health that we saw only last month will change exponentially in the next few months because of people's extreme worry and stress. So it's been a silver lining from heaven for us to focus with a different lens and amplify our efforts. Look at the bands coming forward. What did Elvis say, folks? 50,000 fans, can't be wrong. Well, I just have to look at all of these bands and all of the parents, the requests for interviews, to know that Joseph's doing the right thing, that you are doing the right thing, that our policing partners are trying so hard to do the right thing, and they're laughed at by people with self-serving agendas who have no understanding of the bigger picture. They just want what they want. That is so true with human nature. We intend to take the burden off of society and the costs involved, which are astronomical. And we intend to help policing services to create education programs to deliver to youth so that they don't end up with a knee on a neck in a violent situation. We want to practice preventative measures before the officer has to shoot somebody. The officer doesn't see black, white, or brown. When that officer pulls his gun, he's trained. He sees a big, he's in a zone. He sees a green, slimy monster coming at him with violence. He doesn't see black, white, brown, pink, or yellow. He sees imminent danger.
How can someone get in touch with you, you know, if they want to get in touch with you with regard to the STEPS program? And also, I'm thinking of Brass Comets as well, Joseph. How can someone get in touch with you, Jim?
Task Force Frontline, one word, at outlook.com.
Task Force Frontline at outlook.com.
One word, Task Force Frontline.
So this way they know how to contact you. And Joseph, what's the best way for someone in the audience listening to get in touch with you?
The best way is to send me an email at jslmaestro, that's jslmaestro, at gmail.com. And of course, they can see my website, brasscomets at angelfire.com. But send me an email. That's the best way, jslmaestro@gmail.com.
And if they didn't hear his email, they can use mine and I'll forward it, and vice versa.
Sounds like a plan. Sounds like an excellent plan.
We're like a 1-2 tag team in a boxing ring.
Canada meets Yonkers. Yonkers meets Canada.
We're here for you. Our best minds in every field. I said this to Chief Artis Feeder at Houston Police the other day. Arch, our best minds are mounting their horses, armed to the teeth, with cutting-edge, evidence-based education for law enforcement all through the southern border states where the violence is extreme. And he said, Jim, thank you.
You guys are walking the walk, okay? And I thank you for what you do. It's a beautiful thing. So I have you guys on a couple of times. I've had you both on a couple of times. And I'm going to call you friend of the show, but I'm going to ask you to keep doing what you're doing and keep me posted, because we'll have to have a follow-up on this, because it seems like every day you wake up in the morning, it's something new. It's something different. There's a new challenge. And I'm really, really pleased to know that you guys are out there doing something that is of value to society. And so I thank you very much for coming in and sharing on the show.
You respond immediately, Tony, to our appeals. And you know what? You get the exclusive on everything we do.
Okay, great. I feel privileged.
And Tony, we thank you and Jim, and you guys do a fabulous job up there. And Tony, with the work and advocacy you're doing. So thank you very much for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. You're so interesting. I love having you on. And I know that my audience will be really fascinated and also galvanized by what you're doing.
I'm seeing your podcast coming back to me from sources I never even anticipated, Tony.
It's good to know the word's getting out there about the Energy Stoners Cafe. It's a beautiful thing. And I really appreciate you coming on. And I'll say to the audience, bye for now. I'll see you next time. You know, it won't be long. And I thank our guests, Joseph Lento and Jay Gordon Boyd. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm looking forward to our next talk. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.